Fudge.
Six.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. From the Office of Corporation Counsel and the Director, Office of Performance Strategy and Budget, Department of Administrative Services, requesting authorization to allocate $3.5 million in insurance proceeds to the debt service budget and to reduce the contribution from the debt service reserve fund to the debt service budget by the same amount. This item has also been referred to the Committee on Finance, Personnel, and Audit.
Mr. Fudge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Supervisors. During the January-February board cycle, about $4.1 million was allocated to the courthouse fire capital project to pay for costs at the end of 2013 and the beginning of 2014. Those funds were taken from the 2013 surplus. So in effect, they were basically taken from the debt service reserve because we've placed the majority of the 2013 surplus into the debt service reserve. During the week of July 7th, we received a check from the Office of the Commissioner for $3.5 million. So this resolution would place this $3.5 million back into the debt service reserve. As you can see in the report, one of the primary reasons for this is to begin saving up funds for some outstanding legal costs and perhaps liabilities that the county may be facing in coming years. I know that there's a lot of discussion about this issue and being related to the Mental Health Board. I do want to point out that if the Mental Health Board is made responsible for these costs, we would have to place tax levy in their budget in future years to pay for this, which would then be unavailable for other county services that are not in the Mental Health Board. So this is one of the reasons that we felt it advisable to place these funds into the debt service reserve and set them aside for this cost. I will let the Office of the Corporation Counsel speak to the legal issues related to this.
Attorney Grady.
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that this came about as a result of the actuary's review of risk management reserves of various kinds in their office, and the lack of any reserves for essentially medical malpractice civil rights issues that arise out of the Behavioral Health Division. And the knowledge that we have substantial claims pending from the BHD. And so the risk manager asked me to try to put together a list of the serious claims that we're aware of and lawsuits and try to allocate a very rough guesstimate of what we think defense costs might be, because these have to be handled by the county themselves. They're not covered by our insurance policy. And some very rough, and I emphasize very and rough, estimates of potential liability in these cases, not for attorneys, but for payments to claimants, either through settlements or verdicts. And so I did that, and with the lawsuit and the claims that we have that we are aware of, that are serious, mostly death claims, we came up with a number that is the number in this report of $3.5 million. Now, that's not all going to be spent in 1 year. It's probably not all going to be spent at all. It's just an estimate. It could be, frankly, it could be wildly high. It could be wildly low. I really have to emphasize that because some of these cases, we aren't going to know what value they have until they get more into suit. But they are all substantial injuries or deaths that are involved. So that's where the number comes from. It is a very rough number. I have to say that the number is very imprecise, so I can't say that it has to be $3.5 million as opposed to some other higher or lower number. But the concept, I think, is appropriate that the county set aside some money, certainly for defense counsel costs, because our feeling is we're going to need outside law firms to handle these. And probably some amount our actuaries would like us to reserve for these things.
Supervisor Borkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And rightfully so, the county board gets into debates about how money should be spent. Okay, and I'm not looking for that debate right now. And you know, it's important for us to look ahead and see what kind of bills that we may be facing. But I guess the one thing that I'd like to say about this, and I probably shouldn't be the one championing it, but I don't know what or if we're doing anything about our deferred maintenance. Okay, this fire happened. Okay, how it happened, that's, again, I'm not going to get into that whole thing, but, you know, I guess, wouldn't it make sense to use proceeds to say, let's make sure another courthouse fire doesn't happen? I guess I say this generally so that I'm not saying this exact money needs to be used for that. But I would hope that the message that is being presented right now is being heard by the powers that be that are presenting budgets to us shortly. It's convenient, and again, I have not voted for deferred maintenance, and so I should. It's ironic that I'm defending it now, but my point is that it just seems to me that it some logic needs to have some of this money go into deferred maintenance.
Comment or question?
Well, it's a statement. I mean, I can't force anybody to do anything, and who am I, for instance, to say this is a poor expenditure of the money? However, it needs to be said that, how we got these monies in the first place, and, you know, there are other important causes around here, if you will.
Okay. Supervisor Broderick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've had questions along the same lines as Supervisor Borkowski. It seems to me that the answers to the cause of the fire have remained somewhat murky. I haven't heard a definitive statement about cause, and particularly about cause as it relates to deferred maintenance. So I guess I would have a question, and I noticed you've come to the table, Don. Has it ever been determine what role, if any, deferred maintenance may have played in the fire's cause?
Mr. Tyler, I think that's directed to you.
Mr. Chair, Supervisor Don Tyler, Director of Defense Services.
There we go. The cause and origin investigation, again, we don't do that. Our insurers are doing that. I think as reported perhaps in the past that the fund itself has chosen not to move forward with a cause and origin, but rather their reinsurer is continuing that investigation, as well as our other insurer, Cincinnati of Ohio. So we have yet to receive any report. We did report back in one of the judiciary cycles, I think earlier this year, that they had identified the source where the fire began, which was within one of the cabinets and one of the capacitors, and the oil within the capacitor that ignited as a result of that. Honestly, this is just a naive opinion, but the feedback that I continue to get is that it's very unlikely that they will be able to identify the cause of fire and point it directly to deferred maintenance. But the investigation continues.
It does. That I guess, explains why my understanding is as foggy on this subject as it is. But, you know, the fact that it seemed to have been well established that certain components were recommended for replacement over a course of years, going back to past administrations, and that those weren't addressed, in my mind, appropriately. I think there's reason to suspect, at least, that deferred maintenance might have been part, at least, causal in terms of the fire. And I say that only because, as Supervisor Borkowski pointed out, our future behavior should be guided by what we've come to understand from our past errors, I would hope. I think we ought to talk further about the disposition of some portion of this money for those kinds of purposes, for examination, perhaps, and a thorough not that it's not being done already, but a very dependable assessment of where we stand in terms of needed replacement and what kind of schedule we ought to be operating on, I think that would ultimately be very helpful and a good use of public money.
Mr. Tyler.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I can't disagree with those general comments, Supervisor. I also would like to add, it's kind of a, as it relates to this reserve request on this potential liability, this is something that came to our attention with our new risk management director. The fact that we had only a $50,000 reserve for, or self-insuring basically malpractice. And it's kind of like once you know that there's that potential liability, it's the prudent thing to do to reserve for that. Much like we do with workers' compensation, our actuaries take a look at what our potential liability is, and they require us to reserve against that. So we just feel it's important to do that if possible.
Attorney Grady.
I just wanted to make one point. If you look at the resolution in this on this file, the resolution just transfers this money to the debt service budget. So it is not, although the cover memo and our discussion tells you what the long-term intention is for the money, nothing in the resolution authorizes that intention. So before we could use it for anything along those lines, we would still have to come back to the board for a fund transfer to take the money out of the debt service and transfer it to litigation reserve or to wherever. So this does not finish the process related to the policy behind the memo. And so my point is you can set this aside, and should you decide later you don't want to spend it on what we think it needs to be spent on, you could spend it on something else. The point is this is only gets it halfway there. And so it sets it aside but doesn't allocate it for anything at this point.
Supervisor Weisel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I had a question for the comptroller. Hopefully you could explain something to me, some concerns that we had
don't
earlier.
Don't go far, gentlemen.
Yep.
Mr. Mansky. Why don't you go ahead with your question, Supervisor.
All right. Back when this money was taken out of the 2013 debt service reserve, the concern at the time was we were not going to get paid from the insurance company in time and be able to kind of put the money back, and that it would have then, because of the way things kind of leapfrog, a negative impact on the 2015 budget. So could you, do you have, you know, some thoughts on how or if this affects the 2015 budget?
So what we did at the end of 2013, we had created an appropriation for the courthouse fire project, for the full cost of the courthouse fire project, so that we could pay the cost, which left us $3.5 million short of revenues. And because of the fact that we needed to have the encumbrance so that we could pay the bills, but we didn't have the revenue yet, as a result, the bottom line for 2013 was negatively hit by $3.5 million. The county ended up with a surplus of approximately $21 million for 2013. So 2013 would have had a surplus of $24 million instead had we not made this decision, so the $21 million. We put $5 million into the reserve, which can be used for 2015 purposes, and the rest of the money went into the debt service reserve. So the money right now that's identified as going towards the 2015 budget is $5 million. The rest of the money is in the debt service reserve. The debt service reserve can be used by the executive's office in their budget towards 2015 budget items, or the county board could make a decision to use the debt service reserve towards items in the 2015 budget. By placing it in debt service reserve, it allows you to use it during 2014 or 2015, or if you want to wait till 2016 if there's issues. It allows you to hold it and not specifically identify it to any specific budget year. So kind of summary to this, in order to make sure that we had enough funds to pay for the cost of the fire, we charged $3.5 million of those costs because we weren't sure that the revenues would be received to 2013's bottom line. 2013, $5 million of the surplus went towards the 2015 budget. The rest went into the debt service reserve. Debt service reserve is then available for either 14, 15, or 16 as the board chooses. The monies are now going to be received, and that's what's being reflected here in this note. Is the monies are now going to be received, and the suggestion is to place those monies into the debt service reserve. Placing it in the debt service reserve requires a two-thirds vote to place the monies into there of the county board, and to take any monies out of the debt service reserve requires a two-thirds vote to take that out of the debt service reserve. I don't know if that
The point being that if we didn't put it in the debt service reserve, it would stay with 2014, and you wouldn't have this. You could only then, it would be applied to the 2016 budget.
It would be, but as you made a decision last year for 2013, at the end of 2013, we came to you and gave you an option. We said we'd like to put $5 million towards 2015 budget and the remaining to the debt service reserve. So at the end of 2014, if we have a surplus, right now we're projecting a surplus for 14, and if you just let this fall into 2014, you could make a decision at the end of the year of where the monies should be placed to. I've recommended in the past that the debt service reserve needs to have at least $10 million in it to as contingency for various issues that arise anytime during the year. And because you have access to the money that's there, you can always access it through any cycle, but it requires a two-thirds vote in order to do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman, I don't know if anyone moved to adopt this item, but I would move to do so.
Motion is by Supervisor Johnson for adoption. Other questions, comments? Attorney Grady, so I had raised, I guess two issues I want to bring to people's attention. So I had raised some concern about the memo that says that this is, as part of the justification for why we would do this, talks about the timing of Act 203 and that there's some change in the liability. But it's my understanding that nothing about Act 203 changed the liability with respect to Milwaukee County for mental health, that while it changed who's in control, all liability rests with Milwaukee County.
That's basically correct, yes. It's different from budgeting, which is where I suspect your next question is, but the liability, the statute that says that Milwaukee County must indemnify all of its officers and employees for liability still exists and still applies to everyone, including BHD employees.
So how does that change the fact that, I mean, nothing about 203 requires that the county is going to come up with the money in addition to that which is allocated to the mental health board? I mean, they have a sum total, and nothing obligates us to cover them beyond that. Essentially, it could be said that they are expected to cover mental health operations, including costs of cases against us related to mental health.
Well, Chairman, a couple answers to that. First of all, this deals with things that predate the creation of the mental health board, incidents that occurred in 10, 11, and 12. So I think, regardless of what the answer is going forward, I think it's clear that the county has liability for these incidents now. The question then about what is the situation going forward, I think, is a bit of an open question. Do the liabilities related to the operations of BHD under the Mental Health Board, should those come out of the budgeted amount given to the Mental Health Board, or are they still separate for the county to retain under the state statute for indemnification? And I don't think that's answered by the state statute directly. I know that the risk management cross-charges departments, for example, for workers' compensation reserves, and liability, and I assume they will continue to cross-charge the Mental Health Board and BHD for those liabilities. I don't know the answer as I sit here today whether they could do the same thing with these types of liabilities, but it's possible. We've just never done, the county has never done that. Before the Mental Health Board, they didn't do that kind of cross-charge for these kinds of liabilities. Whether they could start that kind of cross-charge is, I think, an open question going forward. But, again, I just emphasize this request relates to prior liabilities.
Mr. Fudge.
Mr. Chairman, I think one of the issues, too, with reserving for these costs is that they're much more volatile than, say, workers' comp, where you kind of have a caseload that continues for a long time, and the trends are fairly easy to pick out and then reserve for. These type of liabilities, you know, tend to happen one at a time and can be very expensive and then maybe not happen again for years, which makes reserving difficult. The other issue is, while we've had discussions about reserving in the Mental Health Board in the future for this, if the Mental Health Board, again, is hit with these costs and they don't have them in their budget, then they would have to cut services for the mentally ill. Or they would have to incur a deficit, which then the county would have to make up the following year in their appropriation of tax levy. That's why we're advising that we use this funding to help avoid the necessity, hopefully, of using a lot of tax levy in future years that we then can't provide for other services. And so that's kind of the genesis behind setting this aside.
Supervisor Deskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just first a question for Mr. Fudge. We're getting $3.5 million, and then is there another payment coming? Because this talked about $4,069,000, so we've got a little, that is going to be forthcoming at some point.
I'll let Mr. Tyler answer that one.
Mr. Chair, Supervisors, that's absolutely correct. We expect, we don't have the timing of another payment, but we certainly expect and have received indications from the fund that they will continue to pay fully on the proceeds. We just don't know the timing of it. I'd like to say it's measured in weeks, but I want to be careful with that.
Okay, but at this point,
said that, didn't I?
At this point, no anticipated problem with the next payment. Okay, and then a question for Mr. Grady, if I can. Have we talked about or been updated on these potential lawsuits with BHD at all in this committee as part of our ongoing update?
Mr. Chairman, no. The newest lawsuit, the only one of these that is a lawsuit, is added to the list this month because it was just filed. The other ones are not in suit. They're just claims at this point. And no, we haven't talked about them. I'd be happy to do so, but as I've said in the past, what I give you in the update is, you know, sort of the cream off the top, but I'm happy to go into as much detail as you want.
I just ask, because I didn't recall it, and we're being asked today to set money, a pretty big sum of money, aside for potential lawsuits that I don't think any of us have ever heard about before. So that was sort of a concern. And then, Mr. Chair, I don't know why we'd be in such a rush to put this right into debt service today. I mean, I know there's been some talk about deferred maintenance projects, and I've had talks with some of our colleagues about maybe actually addressing some of our deferred maintenance as we move forth with the 2015 budget, and it would be nice to have a few dollars to do that. You know, it seems every month we've got a crisis, you know, that presents us, and I just look back at the Sheriff's Department folks. I mean, we're still kind of dealing with that, the visitors at the jail, and it seems like there's something every month. And it's a two-thirds vote, and I thank Mr. Kotmansky for telling us. I didn't know that. It's two-thirds makes it harder to get that money if any of us want to deal with deferred maintenance. So I'm not sure why we would be jumping in right away and tossing that into the reserve fund today. I think maybe if we just slow the train down a little bit, and there might be some other means or other places that some of the board wants to use that money.
Mr. Tyler, I asked and you agreed to provide us an update on the fire in the September cycle. We're more than a year out now from the fire, and we haven't had a recent update. This, could you just give us the thumbnail right now? So we're somewhere in the neighborhood of $19 million on the fire now.
Chair, Supervisors, I am also planning on providing an update in Finance Committee. It was asked of me to do so. So I'm just in a draft report right now for Finance this cycle. But the headlines are that we, from a restoration standpoint, we continue our progress on that. Our targeted end date on the final completion of all the restoration work is sometime late August, early September. Right now we're in the final phase of changing out transformers and generators and that sort of thing. So from a restoration standpoint, we are pretty much close to being done after a year and some months. As it relates to the reimbursements from the fund and from Cincinnati of Ohio, while we don't have a final settlement number on what the cost may end up being, I can give you a range if that's okay. And it's going to be a fairly broad range of somewhere between 18 and 20 million. You can kind of split the difference and get a sense as to where it might end up being. Again, the fund continues to commit that they will cover all of the costs that they're responsible for. We continue to work with the fund and also Cincinnati of Ohio. Cincinnati of Ohio is our carrier for boiler insurance, which includes electrical equipment. There's discussions that are ongoing in terms of what is the responsibility of Cincinnati and what is the responsibility of the fund. And that is an ongoing conversation. We actually had a meeting with them, I think it was Tuesday of this week, to kind of sort that out. So those are the headlines, and I'm happy to take any other questions beyond that.
I appreciate that and look forward to that report. I guess I ask you that because it similar to Supervisor Stassoon's question, it sort of begs the question, why are we in such a rush to put this money in debt service reserve if we haven't wrapped up the project, don't know where the final costs are, and how much money will ultimately be needed to close it out?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's just coming back from my days, I guess, in the private sector. If you end up knowing that you've got a potential liability, you're bound to kind of reserve for it. And we felt like, regardless of how the proceeds came in as it relates to the fund, that we had that $3.5 million might not have been coming in at this time. We might be coming down and asking for you to set aside out of the fund anyway, because we now know that there's that potential liability. So it's just kind of the prudent thing to do.
The motion by Supervisor Johnson is for adoption. Seeing no further questions or comments from the committee, on the motion for adoption.
Supervisors Borkowski.
No.
Johnson.
Aye.
Weishan.
No.
Broderick.
No.
Rainey.
No.
Stathkunis.
No.
Mr. Chair.
No.
One aye, six noes. The motion to recommend adoption fails.
Okay, it'll go to the board with a negative recommendation, but it'll also be in finance, which will be heard first.
Right.
All right, with that, were we ready?
Yes, if I just wanted
to let's read it over first. Let's do seven first. Let's seven. Thank you.